bank. And there's two other guys up there on the dock, and they were talking back and forth to each other. And they were talking about bands that they used to follow and play with and the parties they used to have, and conversation that I couldn't involve myself in. You know, I didn't have nothing to say. And all of a sudden I hear, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul. And I look back behind me, and my son is standing over there on the rocks. He's got his fishing pole out there, and I wish I had a video of it. I really do. But one of the guys was standing there, and he heard it too. And he just kind of turns and just kind of snickers to himself, you know. And I was thinking about that, and I was looking at him singing that song, just not a care in the world. I hadn't sung that song to him. I don't know where he got it out of his head. The Lord just gave it to him. Now, his mom gives, you know, they sing, you know, and they hear songs, and they, but it was so beautiful. And it just made me think, you know, that it was peaceful. And those men that were on that dock did not have that peace. Didn't make any sense to them. To them, it was a foolish child singing some song that he'd been taught. And I don't know that he really understands what he's singing, but he knew an appropriate time to sing it. It really was. Peace like a river. What does it mean to have peace? What does it mean to have peace like a river in your soul? I think about that scene, and the waters were just calm and just kind of settling, and the noises that were there, if you erase the voices that were being, that were speaking, the noises that you hear are just birds in the trees, you know, trickling water on the rocks. Just an essence of peace and tranquility and just a sweet stillness. What does it mean to have peace in our lives? Where we can sing that song with confidence that I have peace within my soul. Let's turn to Mark. Mark chapter 4. We're going to read verses 37, or starting in verse 37. It says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he, speaking of Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Who had peace in that boat? He was asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? I think of that situation in that boat, and they're sailing along, and the wind is boisterous, so much so that it's beating upon the boat, and there's a possibility that they might sink. I mean, they were afraid that the boat was going to take on water, and that they were going to be utterly destroyed in the midst of the sea and drowned. And Jesus is asleep in the boat. And out of their fear, they wake him up and they say, Lord, don't you even care that we're about to drown? Don't you even care about all the turmoil and struggles that we're facing right now? Can't you see our situation is dire? Wake up! And in just a few words, two words, he stands up and he says, Peace, be still. And I want to say that it says that there was a great calm. I can just picture them out on that boat, just raging sea, if you will. And all of a sudden, when Jesus speaks those words, Peace, be still, that the calm and the peace that was out there was like I said before, trickling water, maybe a cool breeze passing them. An immediate calm. How quickly Jesus Christ can change our circumstances. How quickly he can speak peace, be still, to our troublous times. He said to them, Why are you fearful? We can address that first. Why would they be fearful? Well, they would say, well, obviously, we're taking water. The waves are beating on the boat. You know, the wind is blowing fiercely. We're out in the middle of the sea. We don't know how we're going to get to shore. If we land in the water and this boat sinks, you know, how are we going to get to shore? What do you mean, why are we fearful? But the key element is that Jesus was in the boat. And the reality is that when we have Jesus Christ in our heart and he's in our boat, we were talking on the way to services this morning, and one of the children was singing a song of Jesus knocking on the door of our hearts. And I said, why is he knocking on our hearts? What does he want? And I said, well, he wants to come live in our hearts. And if he is in our hearts, then all these troublous times, all these bashings of the world that come in against us and threaten our safety or threaten our tranquility or our peace, he can speak to those things with just two words, peace, be still. And we need not be afraid. We need not be afraid of the things that can come against us, that can beat upon our lives, and that can, in all likelihood, destroy us when we have Jesus Christ in our hearts. You know, those men on that dock had something to fear, because they did not have Jesus in their hearts. They didn't have that testimony of Jesus Christ being in their boat, if you will. But they were on their own. Their resources for peace were their own. They're relying on self to solve every problem. The disciples were imagining that they were relying on themselves to solve this issue. How are we going to get this water out of this boat? How are we going to keep this boat together? How are we going to get these oars sending us the right direction? How are we going to get back to shore? They were thinking about how self. How are we going to fix this? And I'll tell you, when you're relying only on you and on your resources and your abilities, you're gonna be lacking some peace in these circumstances, in these situations that we face and that we all face. We all have difficult times that come up against us. And if all we have as a support system is us, then we're on shaky ground. We have reason to fear. But what is our solution? He says, why are you fearful? And then he says, how is it that you have no faith? So when you say, well, what is our solution? How are we going to get out of these circumstances and allowing them to steal away our peace and take away our tranquility, our calmness? How do we battle that? How do we fight that? How do we overcome that? How do we gain victory over that? It's faith. It's faith in God. It's faith in Him above ourselves. Because like I said, when we're trusting in our own abilities and our own ways of accomplishing results, we're going to fall short. We're going to be lacking. But with Christ, who has an unlimited amount of resources, that nothing is impossible unto Him, He can meet our needs. And so when we have confidence and faith in Him to do that, then we can have peace in our hearts and in our lives. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Romans 3. Verse 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. It doesn't stop there. We're gonna read about who these people are. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Does this sound like people of God? No, it's pretty severe what he's talking about. These are people without God. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So when I say that those men on that dock didn't have peace, they didn't really know anything about it because they did not know God. They didn't have Him living and dwelling in their hearts and directing their lives. They were caught up in their own things and in the world and in the foolishness of the world. And they didn't understand peace. They had no idea what that little boy was singing. To them it was foolishness. But it's not foolishness. They could have peace. A peace that they know not even of right now. But that by the grace of God, one day, they're going to fall on their knees and they're going to seek God for peace in their soul. Let's go to John 14. John 14 and 27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's a wonderful promise. He said, my peace I'm going to give to you. You know, I cannot stand up here and say that I don't ever have any troubles, or that I don't have anything that I'm concerned about in our lives, you know, and raising of my family. I mean, you just take the message this morning. There's a lot of things in that message for us to be concerned about and to want to be active in and to uphold that, or to be what that requires, to be the man that those things require. I need God to be that. But the Lord says that in all those things, he's going to give me his peace. The peace that he possesses. The peace that enabled him to sleep in that boat with the waves crashing and the water going into the boat. And he was able to sleep in the midst of all that because he had a great calm within himself. He was not concerned one bit. Even after he woke up and saw what was taking place, he wasn't concerned a bit. And I think what it speaks to us is that if we can have his peace living and dwelling within our hearts, that even though troubles and things come about to enter into our lives, to press in upon us, that we can have that peace just like he had at our disposal. And have a calm about us in the midst of all that storm, because we trust in a living God who's able to speak to that storm and say, peace be still. And it will be a calm again about us. What is the peace of God? I was looking it up and it says blessedness, comfort, strength, support. A sense of divine favor. You know, that when you know that you're in a position where God has shown his face upon you and he's delivered you in your heart and in your life, he's given you forgiveness of sins and has restored you into a relationship with himself and has made you new and created you anew, that is a position of peace. It is an amazing gift of God. You know, by all rights, I should not have peace in my heart. I should not have a tranquility in my heart. And the only reason why I do is because it's a gift of God and what he's done in my life. And the fact that he's willing to forgive and have mercy and grace for us, which gives us the ability to have peace at night. If I still had the weight of the guilt and shame on me for the things that I've done, I couldn't have peace at night. It would torment me. But because of the grace of God and because of the Spirit of God, that by all rights is unjustified. Man looks upon it and says it's unjust. And they're right. None of us deserves the mercy and grace of God. But he gives it to us freely out of his love for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's because God has justified us by our faith in him. Faith in his sacrifice, his shed blood that he shed on the cross for us. our faith in Him and the sacrifice that He gave for us, the washing and cleansing of our sins, the renewing of our minds, the fact that He leads us and guides us into all truth, all of these things, not just the sacrifice, but all of these things encompassing together and bringing us in right relationship with God. It's because of these things that we have peace with God and a peace within our hearts. Though the realities of life would show that we ought not to have peace, but because of God and because of His mercy and His presence living and dwelling within us, we can have peace in our soul. And I thank God for that peace. You know, you think of the one that is hearing words, the word of God being preached and spoken and taught, and it brings about a conviction in their heart. Is that conviction, would you classify that peace? When you have a stirring in your heart, a conviction in your heart that you're not right with God, that there's a opposition there, that you know that you're wrong, you know that you've broken His law, or you've crossed Him and you're an enemy of God, does that bring peace to your heart? No. That troubling in your heart, that conviction that's stirring you up, that conviction that's making you feel like uneasy and unsure of yourself, and where will you spend eternity? Where will you be in eternity? That stirs you up. When you can't answer that, and you don't really know, and you're thinking, well, I think it's pretty likely that I'm not going to heaven, then your heart starts stirring, and you're having trouble in your heart. That's not peace. And as long as you allow that stirring and that conviction and that guilt to stay there, you'll not have peace. But I'll tell you now that is the grace of God that stirs you up that way and gets you thinking about where your stance is before Him and where are you at. That's the gift of God that does that. That speaks to our heart and troubles it and says, you're not right. You're not ready. Because like I said, the mercy of God will speak peace to your heart if you'll surrender your heart to Him and allow Him to come in and dwell within your boat. Say, Lord, come. Enter into my heart. Bring peace to my soul. Forgive me of my sin. And deliver me from unrighteousness. And it'll bring peace. It'll bring a peace to your life, a peace to your soul, an unimaginable peace that can't be explained. I cannot explain to you why I have peace. Why the Lord would give me peace. Why He would give me forgiveness. And not just forgiveness, but allow me to live a life of peace. It's not deserved. But it's His way. And He'll allow us to have that peace in our soul if we'll but surrender our hearts to Him. We can have peace like a river in our soul by the presence of God in our life. John 14. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Don't allow your troubles to weigh you down, to beat you down, to destroy you, and keep you faithless and unbelieving, wondering, does God really care? Does God see me? Is He hearing my prayer? Does He know the state of my life right now? Does He understand what I'm going through and how it feels and the weight of it? Yes, He does. Have faith in God. Let not your heart be troubled. Cast your care upon Him.
trust and believe that when you pray to Him and pour your heart out to Him, that He hears. And that He doesn't just hear, but He hears and answers prayer. That He's going to bring about that godly peace, or that peace of God that's a blessedness. It's a comfort and a strength in our time of need. If we're relying on ourselves to boost ourselves up or to encourage ourselves or to strengthen ourselves, we're going to be lacking. But if we can trust and rely upon God to do those things for us, then we have a source of power that we know not of, that we fall short of. But God's power is unlimited in our lives, and He can give a peace to us that surpasses understanding. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I really love these scriptures right here. Verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. You know, that is a peace that surpasses understanding. That does not make any sense to the world or to those who know not God. That you can be troubled on every side, and that you can be persecuted and all these things, and yet have a perspective and a view of it that we're not rejected, or we're not, what did it say? Persecuted but not forsaken. God has not forsaken us. And they would look at us and say, well, don't you know what's going on in your life? Can't you see what's happening? What do you mean God has not forsaken you? But they know God. They know His presence in their lives, and they know His peace, and they know that He has not left them to be deserted, but that He's with them every step of the way. Troubled on every side, yet not distressed. And so there's trouble all around, but they don't have an anxiety in their heart or a fear in their heart that's bringing about turmoil in their life, but they're having faith in God and trusting God. And they have a peace within their soul in the midst of it all. That is the peace that Jesus has. He says, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives. Because the world has nothing to give you in the space of that time. When everything is crashing in on you and it's utter destruction, nothing they can say is going to bring about a peace. Only God can speak to our hearts in those times and give us peace in those times. And give us comfort within. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 7. 2 Corinthians 7 and 4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort, and I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulations. Yeah, thank the Lord. Help me, Lord. Where's my faith? Is what God would tell me. You're troubled on every side. You're distressed, perhaps. Maybe the weight of things is getting heavy on you. And you're wondering how you're going to make it out of this. And the Lord is saying, have faith in God. Because He's explained it to us over and over. And we've got experiences and examples of people who lived lives in a much worse state than we have at this point. But it may get worse. We may have more trouble in our lives than we can imagine at this point. There may come a day when we actually see some of the troubles that they saw back then. I don't know. But I'll tell you that God is still the same. He was the same then, and He'll be the same now.
that he can meet those needs and he can meet those troubles and he can give us peace within our soul, that we don't have to fall victim to those troublous times or those things that come against us where they destroy our spirits. But we can have faith in God in the midst of it and be joyful in all our tribulations. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God. So when that's happening, and it's crashing in around us, and the storm is all about us, God. And may the Lord help us to look to Him in those times, and cry out to Him, Lord, help us. I thank God that the disciples knew where to go. Lord, help us. We're about to drown here. It wasn't, hey, Lord, let us help you. No, they went to Him because they knew that He had the ability to do things. And they said, Lord, help us. And may the Lord help us to do the same. That when we have trouble and things coming on in our lives that we don't understand, and the weight of it is heavy upon us, and we're not sure if we're going to be able to make it through it, let us trust in God and know that He is able. I think of the song that we sang right before the message, The Virtue of Faith. It says, upon the troubled, restless wave, His fearful, trembling ones to save. The Master walked and calmed the sea, the wildly tossing Galilee. By faith again I hear His voice in tones which make my heart rejoice. When fears my soul with terror thrill, He gently whispers, peace be still. So when we have fears upon our soul or terrors that come upon us, let us not be fearful, but let us have faith in God and know that He can meet our needs. And that He can speak those words, peace be still, to our soul, and we will have a calm and a peace about us, a tranquility, if you will, the calm stillness of that water trickling along down the river, and the cool breeze in the air, and the birds singing out in the background. We can have that in our soul if we'll trust in God and have faith in Him, even in the midst of troubles, even in the midst of trials and tribulations. We can have that peace and that calm because we know that we serve the living God and that He's not forsaking us. He's not left us to the wayside, but He's right there with us. He's dwelling within our hearts and nothing can come against us. He's in the midst. It's like us being in the eye of the storm, if you will, with Christ in our hearts. Let us not be afraid. He can give us a peace that surpasses understanding. The Scripture said that He'd give us His peace. I want to turn to Luke 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 41. And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And His betrayer is lurking, is about to betray Him to the religious leaders. And He went about to Himself to pray, and He said, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto Him from heaven, strengthening Him. And being in an agony, He prayed more earnestly. And His sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I would say that He was in anguish, as it says. A troublous time, a difficult circumstance in His life. The flesh was recoiling against what was to come and what He was about to face. And we can easily fall under in our circumstances and what we face in life to this. And that what I mean by that is I would say that what He was carrying here, the load that He was carrying, was much greater than any load that we would have to carry ourselves. And that gives us comfort and peace to know that if He can meet the need here, He can meet our need as well. But He's in an agony. And He's crying out,
to his father. He says, not my will, but thy will be done. And I want to go to Matthew 26. This is going to be the same situation, but it added a couple details that the other didn't. Matthew 26 and 44. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. So here it was again. Jesus was in the garden. He's praying. And we can revert back to what we already read and the weight of it, the trouble that he was experiencing and feeling within his heart in these circumstances, and knowing that he was about to be persecuted and crucified and mistreated in every possible way. And his flesh was recoiling from that. It's just a natural tendency of our flesh to recoil from the pain and the agony that he was about to face. And so he prays for the third time. And then in verse 45, then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto him, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. When I read those words, I imagine the victory that he had. He prayed in an agony and labored before his Father in prayer. He laid himself down and said, not my will, but your will be done. I'm empty of myself. Your will be done, Lord. And that's not a resolution to evil. That's not a resolution to suffering and pain and terribleness. To say, oh, your will be done, Lord. No. That's a call of victory. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. God's way is victory. His way is peace. His way is success. To say not my way or not my will is to say that I'm going to choose the best thing here. And I'm going to choose God's will and his way in my life. But Jesus, I feel like the words right there, what he said, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand who doth betray me. It was just, he got peace. He was peace. He was in peace and ready. And I believe the Lord can help us. When Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, it's like he's saying that we can have this peace here. Or we can have the peace similar to him saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. To be able to have a peace in his heart, to be able to say that, to be sincere in his words in saying that. And then we have the answer in it too, that we can do that as well in Stephen saying the same thing. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When they were stoning him, and he had a peace about him. I believe they said that his face was that as of an angel. The peace that he had in the midst of that turmoil and that strife. The Lord can speak peace into our hearts if we'll let him. If we're troubled today, and we're struggling, and we're having turmoil in our hearts, in our lives, and we're fearful, Jesus is saying, be not faithless, but believing. And he's essentially saying, come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace in your heart and in your soul, where you can sing that song, I have peace like a river in my soul, no matter what's going on around you. We have that peace available to us. It's Jesus Christ's peace. And may the Lord speak peace to your soul today. Pray for me.